This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Richard Mackey, the president of Capital Reps and the blogger at JustGSA.com, and Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal and the former president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Larry was there for 19 years, and the reason he's Capital Reps, Richard at Capital Reps, does a lot of GSA work. So, Richard, say hello and introduce yourself, please.
Good morning, Mark, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, my firm, Capital Reps, we've been in business since 96, and we've helped over 400 companies in dozens of different of the popular schedules, MOBIS, IT, AIMS, et cetera, in a whole process of packaging, strategy, submission, clarifications, negotiations, and post-award maintenance. So we're very good at what we do. I'm not in the marketing space like you, or in the strategic procurement space, but we know how to get people on schedule and keep them compliant.
Right, and I've been funneling the companies that that I find that need schedules in your direction for, good Lord, 12, 14, how long you been in business now?
16 years.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you're my number one prospect here.
Where's my check?
Yeah, not in compensation.
Larry, tell them what you do.
Good morning, Mark. I'm Larry Allen, and as you mentioned, I run Allen Federal, which is a strategic advisory firm that provides business improvement, business marketing services to federal government agencies. Not the same type of marketing you do, Mark. I'm very strategic, as we all know.
I'm a tactical guy. You're the strategy guy.
We are. If you want to know budget trends and what people are thinking in the CAO's office, I'm happy to help. CIO's office, I can figure that out. And that all works out well.
Okay. And two things here. AllenFederal.com, go there and sign up for the newsletter. It comes out Monday, usually early Monday, and it's one of the best things to read at the beginning of the week. It's called Week Ahead, right?
It is.
Yeah. And it's got usually three items that are top of mind, short, quick read, important stuff. Richard's blog, Just GSA, he updates that a couple, he opines a couple of times a week, so go there as well. This show is about GSA and about strategic sourcing. Larry, give us some background on the GSA schedules and historically what they have meant both to government and industry.
Mark, the GSA Schedules program for a number of years has been looked at as a key entry point to the federal government market for companies that are trying to get a foothold, trying to establish their bona fides as federal contractors. As a result, it's a program that, while it certainly attracts all of the brand name contractors, is really dominated by smaller businesses, businesses that may occupy a specific market niche. And the schedules program has been a very good way for those companies to come in, establish themselves as reliable suppliers, and actually compete successfully against larger firms every day for government business. One of the things I've always been proudest about with the schedules program is that between 30 and 33% of the sales, not just the contractors, but the sales that go through the schedules program are done with small businesses, which is an enviable small business use record in government procurement. So it's a program that has filled that niche. It's been a lot of things to a lot of contractors and to a lot of federal customers. Today, it's a $40 billion a year program. If you throw in the sales from its first cousin, the VA schedules, it's more along the lines of $45 or $46 billion. So you can tell it's a very popular program with federal agencies, not just with contractors. This whole idea of strategic sourcing has been around for a number of years, and GSA has tried a couple of iterations with it. Starting in 2010, they hit on the current office supplies strategic sourcing initiative, which was for the first time kind of a successful multi-agency strategic sourcing event where they had 15 contractors on schedule, 5 user agencies that are committed to using the program. And that's driven all kinds of interesting behaviors, causing GSA to close the overall schedule for office supplies and directing more people to just those 15 businesses, leaving the rest of the companies on that schedule, including the small businesses, to kind of fight for the leftovers.
And when they implemented SSI on Schedule 75, there were about 545 or so contractors there.
Well over 500 contractors, and probably 90 to 95% of them could be classified as small.
Right. Richard, when the Schedule 75 BPA was announced, what was your initial thought on this?
Well, I was surprised. I mean, I understand the government's position in trying to buy in bulk. You know, traditional BPAs are usually agency specific or division specific. This was an anomaly in that this was a cumulative buys across all agencies doing consolidated procurements. And historically, most agencies don't work together to consolidate their orders. I had some concerns, of course, as I always do, that the playing field for GSA schedules, you know, every order over $3,000, which is the micro purchase threshold, has to receive by default 3 quotes based upon best value. And, you know, the same effect could have been, other BPAs traditional BPAs could have been awarded here. And my concern was that, one, they were closing the contract and new offers, which one of my clients has just been locked out of a $1 million order, which if we have time, I can talk about. So I'm concerned that, you know, it's limiting competition. You know, I don't understand. I think more competition stimulates more opportunity. And apparently there's been a big impact on these the firms that were not source selected.
Okay. Larry?
Well, Richard's absolutely right. And this is why the actions of GSA have drawn a lot of scrutiny, drawn a lot of congressional scrutiny. There was a hearing in early June before a House Small Business Subcommittee panel talking in part about this FSSI program and GSA's decision to close the 75 schedule and using that as a pilot, as it turns out, Mark, for their demand-based initiative, which would seek to close other schedules for periods of time in the name of better workload management. I suspect we'll talk a little bit about that. I find the demand-based initiative somewhat troubling. We're in a very competitive procurement landscape, whether you're the contractors that rely on a robust schedules program as an important channel for your business, or even if you're GSA, realizing that you are no longer the only procurement game in town. And if you're not offering the solutions that federal customer agencies need, then either they're going to start delivering them for themselves or somebody else is going to step into your shoes and do it for you.
Okay. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after these messages.
Attention all federal and military agencies. In March, the Australian Defense Force saved more than $150 million by using Intelsat General to put critical communications into space as a hosted payload on one of our satellites, on time and on budget. Our next hosted payload satellite launches in 2013. So if your agency needs on-time, on-budget access to space, take an example from our allies down under and look no further than Intelsat General. Learn more at spacedelivered.com. Intelsat General Hosted Payload Program. That's spacedelivered.com.
This is John Gilroy from Armature and host of Federal Tech Talk. After almost 300 interviews, I've had many guests who talk about cutting-edge technology and agile software development. How would you like to be part of a fast-paced team with an agile approach to projects? We need talent. We seek experts in .NET, WCF, jQuery, and HTML5. Take advantage of this opportunity where you can make a difference. For more information, go to armaturecorp.com or send your resume to radiojobs@armaturecorp.com.
Listen to WTOP and Federal News Radio to hear the GovCloud Minute, insight from Mark Ryland, the Chief Solutions Architect for Amazon Web Services' worldwide public sector team. Find out how your agency can build its cloud applications and meet the latest security requirements. You can also achieve cost savings and improve application delivery time through AWS's flexible cloud solutions. Read this week's GovCloud Minute on federalnewsradio.com, keyword Amazon.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
Take command of your mobility initiative, a panel with experts from government and industry sponsored by Red River. And now panelist John Owens, CIO of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
The management's critical, and it's mixed with a policy. The policy has to tell the employee what their responsibilities are, whether it's their device or the federal government's, and what control you have over it. And the software itself, the system that's used to protect the data, has to do everything from make sure that if the device is lost, that we wipe or recover the device, whether or not it's an employee's device or a federal government's device, but also monitor it.
What's your organization's mobility solution? As an authorized Cisco Gold partner, Red River can help you create a customized mobility kit with any kind of device, and they install any kind of software. Then wrap in complimentary 24/7 support, so you're on your way to working anywhere at any time. Learn more at redriver.com/mobility kit. IT decisions are black and white. Think red. Red River.
This is Dave Noble with IAAIS. We help people who live with vision loss. That's why we collaborated with Best Buy and the Insignia brand to create the Narrator, a new HD radio receiver with specific functions for visually impaired people. In addition to bookmarking and accessing extra channels, the Narrator tells you what buttons you've pressed.
Tune up.
We believe everyone will love the Narrator and encourage you to visit hdradio.com and bestbuy.com to learn more.
Join senior government leaders from HHS, CMS, DOD, and VA at FCA Bethesda's 5th Health IT Day on October 18th at the Bethesda North Marriott. Program sessions will discuss electronic health records, shared services, big data mobility, and more. Register today at fcabethesda.org/healthitday. FCA Bethesda thanks its sponsors, Accenture, DRC, General Dynamics, ICF International, Intel, Lockheed Martin, Microsoft, Northrop Grumman, and SAS.
Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Richard Mackey of Capital Reps. You can find Richard at Capital, C-A-P-I-T-A-L, reps.com. And you can find his blog at Just GSA. My other guest is Larry Allen. You can find him at Allen, A-L-L-E-N, federal.com. Larry brought up demand-based initiative in the last segment. Go into a little detail as to what this is and what it means.
Mark, demand-based initiative is GSA's program for addressing what they perceive to be issues with their multiple award schedules program, issues where perhaps some schedules are obsolete and no longer need to be maintained by GSA. The items that they're offering are things that are no longer being used by federal agencies, but it's also an initiative where they're looking to manage their workload. There are some acquisition centers that are overwhelmed with offers and have a backlog of new offers and modifications for existing offers. And GSA looks at the ability to close selected schedules for periods of time as a way to manage those workload issues. In addition to it running parallel to demand-based would be GSA's ability to cancel the contracts of companies that have posted no GSA schedule sales for a period of time or have fallen under the $25,000 annual minimum.
They've had this ability for a while, though, and for the longest time. Richard brought this to my attention several years ago when he started running the top 100
schedule holders, particularly 70. This has to go back, Richard, to the early 2000s, maybe even the late 90s. And from that, we evolved, you know, the concept that the top 2% of the vendors were taking like 60% of the money. We ran it across all schedules, and it was true. But they, you know, the bottom third at that time, fully 30% of the companies on schedules were doing zip.
Well, that's true, and it's unfortunate. There's a high percentage of, if you look at the sales only, a failure on schedule. And so I tell my clients, you know, they, if they're going to make the investment with me and our company, which they decided, which is a big investment of time and resources, they have to have patience. And but post-award, just like an author writing a book, you know, they have to have a marketing plan, a marketing budget, a marketing plan, and staff some people, because just being listed isn't going to make things happen. The going back to the termination piece, you know, years ago it was 25,000 within the first year you had to have, and then 25,000 thereafter, where you may be terminated. Then they changed it because they recognized that people were having a hard time meeting that goal to 2 years for 25, and then 25 thereafter. So as I spoke to you earlier today, you know, if you're in a predicament where you're not performing 18 months into your contract, you need to contact your administrative contracting officer and let them know about your things that you have done. You have a marketing plan, you have a marketing budget, you've bid on 10 opportunities, you're a subcontractor, you have teaming agreements. You need to tell them proactively what you're doing. Otherwise, they're going to see zero and you'll probably get a termination letter.
Okay, Richard's going to run some numbers for us here real quick.
Yeah, well, actually, it's only $20 billion, so it's about half. So yeah. The IT has been right around $16 billion for years, been pretty flat, and Movis is right around $5
billion. Okay, so...
And so it's little
better than 50%.
Right.
But you, Larry, you were talking about congressmen calling GSA, why are you closing this business? Before we started recording today, I gave you each a 5-page list that I found on federalnewsradio.com. It's under the title Lost Revenue for Non-FSSI Vendors. So if you want to print the list yourself, go to Federal News Radio, use the search bar, and just type in FSSI, and you'll come up, among other things, with this. But it's 5 pages of data provided by StopFSSI.org that shows revenue loss for Lord knows how many firms are on this list. It's you know, four and a half pages of data, but it's significant. And, you know, I think we all know some of these companies, you know, personally.
Yeah, some of my clients are on here, and it's very disturbing. I hadn't recognized or heard about the impact that the nine awardees had from this result of this downsizing or selective sourcing. So I think it shows as GSA is moving forward with Schedule 70, and they also have Schedule 36, you know, that discussions need to be had about this, you know, this impact on not only small businesses, but, you know, I fail to see the understanding of limiting competition, you know, the fostering competition, fostering opportunity. It's what I tell my clients is that's one nice thing about the federal government is that there's rules, regulations, and on everything, as long as you understand the processes and invest in them, you can be rewarded. But then to see the down selection of these BPAs with all good intent, it gets a sour pill in your mouth.
Well, and that's right. And I've spoken with a number of these companies, just as Richard has, and they are definitely hurting. I mean, these are companies that had dedicated themselves to the government market in many cases, at the insistence of local government customers that happened to be down the street from where they were located, and they just don't have existing commercial accounts or really the expertise of entering into the commercial market to pick up any of the slack. And we all know what the commercial economy is like, too. It's not like it's hitting on all cylinders. So that, you know, it does make it very difficult to survive in this market. And what a number of these companies have asked GSA to do is to have an on-ramp, open up a new round of competition. And what's significant about that, Mark, is GSA actually promised to have an on-ramp for these contracts so that companies that weren't cutting it, weren't providing good customer service, maybe had been merged, so there were fewer number of actual contract holders than there were at the outset, so that you could keep some level of competition, albeit on a restricted basis, high. But we haven't seen an on-ramp materialize. What we have seen is a number of management issues with the program where companies that do have these contracts aren't necessarily happy because they can't get price increases out of GSA. Their prices are held artificially low, and that can lead to a whole host of other non-salutary outcomes.
Right, and what I haven't seen is the any hard figures on the disparity between the two large companies that won this vehicle versus the 11 or so small companies that that won.
Yeah, what I found remarkable about that when it was first awarded is that those two large companies, which can be found on the internet, had...
Well, I'll say them. They're Office Depot and Staples.
They had trade compliance fines. You know, so they were...
Yeah. Both of them have a history of some issues here.
And I just find it remarkable that they were selected. So the selection criteria is questionable, and I'd like to see, you know, if these many companies are having a shortfall of revenues, you're going to see some companies dropping out. So yeah, they should open up the doors again.
They should. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, back after these messages.
What is the information sharing environment? How is information sharing maturing across the ISE? And what are the biggest challenges facing the ISE? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Shemendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
The numbers mount, and so does the need of the more than 45,000 men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces wounded in action overseas. They are coming home, and you can help their transition by joining the GTSI Charity 5K Run Walk in Herndon, Virginia on October 13th. It benefits the Wounded Warrior Project, which provides direct programs for our injured veterans. For race information or to register online, visit GTSICharity5K.com or visit them on Facebook at GTSI Corp.
At Kaiser Permanente, we want you to live well, be well, and thrive. Now, there's an app for that. With the new Kaiser Permanente mobile app, designed specifically for the needs of our members, you can schedule a routine appointment with your doctor's office, refill a prescription, check on your test results, review your medical records, email your doctors, all from your smartphone, directly and securely. Now, in addition to apps that let you find the local yogurt shop or post pictures of your dog wearing a hat, there's an app that lets you do something even more remarkable. It helps you stay connected with everyone who's important to your health and your family's health. Get the Kaiser Permanente mobile app at the Android Market or the Apple App Store, or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. It's as easy as using a giant slingshot to shoot birds at pigs, if you know what I mean. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
Here's an inspiring story provided by Insperity.
Hi, I'm Tony Sterling, Vice President of Project Support Services Incorporated, a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. We provide project and contract support services to federal, state, and local government. I wear many hats in my job, as I'm sure most of you do, in small and mid-market companies. In 2008, we had only 46 employees. Now, thanks to Insperity's diverse spectrum of services, we have 156 employees and a true national footprint. One of the keys to our rapid growth is Insperity. They give us the resources of a large corporation in areas like HR, payroll, recruiting, training, and consulting on compliance issues. It's comforting to know that we have Insperity in our corner.
Insperity understands the many challenges faced by the federal contracting community. You need the right resources to give you the competitive advantage. Insperity's multi-state infrastructure gives you big company resources without compromising your status. Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Today is the day to make the switch to decide you're going to choose to save money with Ackerman Security Systems.
I was looking at ways to reduce expenses at home. I checked my alarm monitoring bill and wow, I made the switch to Ackerman with no cost to switch and only $18.95 a month. Now I save $25 a month. That's $300 a year.
Why wait? Call Ackerman today and receive 2 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
The sutures that close your wounds might soon also monitor for and treat infections. That's possible because of an engineering advance that allows high-quality silicon electronics to not only be embedded in plastic or silk suture material, but...
It's really electronics you can tie in a knot, and that was one of the main technical hurdles we had to overcome.
John Rogers, a University of Illinois engineer, says the sutures can precisely measure temperatures that can signal infection and also deliver heat to specific locations.
We have microheaters, so we can define very specific changes in temperature configured to eliminate bacteria.
The sutures are now controlled and powered by a small external wire connection that fits under a bandage, but might one day be entirely disconnected.
Our vision is that these things would be smart enough to figure out what to do on their own.
More at www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Richard Mackey of Capital Reps and Larry Allen of Allen Federal. Larry, there's been some activity on the Hill regarding these issues. What is it? What's it mean? What's the direction? What's the Hill feel for this?
Well, good question, Mark, and I think that it depends on who you talk to on the Hill to get a reaction to some of the things that GSA is doing. I referenced earlier the June hearing that the House Small Business Subcommittee had, and clearly the small business committees in both chambers are taking a somewhat jaundiced view of GSA's approach here on demand-based contracting and closing contracts, and what that means for the ability of small businesses to continually compete on the program. There was a hearing, however, last week before the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, chaired by Senator Lieberman, where Acting Administrator Dan Tangerlini and GSAIG Brian Miller both testified, talking about Mr. Tangerlini's top-to-bottom review of the agency. And that review, Mark, actually got positive reviews from both Senator Lieberman and Senator Collins, who's the ranking Republican on that committee, for some of the things they're doing. And basically what it comes down to is increased centralization in GSA. As you know, GSA operates out of central offices here in the Washington area, but it also has 11 regions scattered throughout the country. And part of the things that Acting Administrator Tangerlini spoke about was the ability to make sure that more of the shots are called out of the central office, and that while regions are very important activities, that they all need to have some degree of commonality so that we don't have regions going off and doing their own thing and nobody knows about it until there's an IG report or some sort of media investigation involved.
Or a YouTube incident.
Not that those ever happen. He also spoke about consolidating HR operations and administrative operations, all of which received some good attention. But interestingly, in terms of the schedules discussion we're having, he also alluded to the fact that some of the fees that GSA charges, the access fee for the Strategic Sourcing Initiative and the industrial funding fee that funds the schedules program, would actively be under review for reduction. This is something that the Inspector General has said needs to be addressed because, in his view, the fees collect, quote, too much, end quote, revenue than they should to justify the financing of their operations.
Okay, so you were at the coalition when GSA went from government-funded to self-funded.
Yes.
What was the change like from your perspective at GSA then? Was
Was this a desired mode? Was it a panic mode?
It was kind of a panic mode, Mark, because Congress originally told GSA, look, either find a way for your operations to be self-funded or we're going to shut you down. The appropriators said in the early 1990s that we're going to no longer provide direct appropriations for your schedule and other activities, GSA. And if they're as good as you say you are, then your customer agency should pay for them. So GSA worked very quickly with industry, particularly with the coalition, to develop the industrial funding fee mechanism. And industry, of course, was somewhat skeptical about how this was going to work. But in the end, they understood that absent GSA's ability to self-pay for schedule operations, there may not be a schedules program. So they kind of went along with it. And there were a whole series of hiccups. Originally, the fee was set at 1%. And then GSA, several years after that, dropped it to its current level of 0.75%. And that set off another round of attendant grumbling, because changing contractor systems is inherently expensive, particularly when you want to make sure that you are handling what is, after all, the government's money properly, and that you're not keeping the government's money improperly that you should be sending to the government.
Yeah, and when you change systems like that, I mean, Richard, your clients have to deal with IFF on an hourly basis.
All their GSA contracts had to be posted January 1st, 2004, with the lower fee. So it was a busy December Christmas holiday for our staff. And I still think the 0.75% is high. You know, and there's a lot of misconceptions about the IFF. The IFF does not come out of our clients, the schedule holders' hides. It's added on top of their negotiated prices. So the fees are actually being paid by the issuing agencies. So it's their money. But I've long, you know, jested that, I remember looking at the numbers, just take $15 billion, 0.75% of $15 billion, just for the IT Schedule 70 divided by 150 contracting officers, I came out to some phenomenal number of about $1.5 million per contracting officer. And you subtract a contracting officer's GS 11 or 12, 13 salary, that's a lot of money on the table. And where's that going? So, and many of the other agencies, the VA has a 0.5%, I think, IFF, not as popular schedule. And then some of the other agency GWACs, the NASA SEWP contract and the NIH ECS contract, both have lower fees based upon larger orders.
Right. And the NASA SEWP in particular has a history of customer satisfaction and vendor satisfaction.
Well, things happen more quickly on the net. I mean, I have clients who have both contracts or all three contracts, and they're frustrated at times. You know, while GSA generally routine modifications are approved in days to weeks, the same can be affected on the NASA SEWP contract in a day or two. So often they'll go that avenue.
Okay. Now, I got, I've been in touch through LinkedIn and now through email with Sam Borenstein. He's a professor at Keene University School of Business. He's also a partner at Borenstein Song Research, and he does a lot of research in the FSSI stuff. But I think his biggest point that comes to mind is the lack of the cost-benefit analysis applied across any of the FSI stuff, and apparently it was mandated by OMB sometime back. Is Larry?
Oh, absolutely. This whole FSSI program was the brainchild of people at the Office of Management and Budget who wanted to find a way to streamline acquisition, and that not just in office supplies. There are, as Richard alluded to, several other strategic sourcing initiatives in play right now, one of which is on the Schedule 36 for managed print services. That was also an OMB directive. What's interesting about this is OMB says, from a strategic policy basis, look, we as a government should be spending less and aggregating our resources, our collective buying power more, so that we lower our overhead. And why wouldn't we do this? In fact, Acting OMB Administrator Jeff Zients, as recently as last week, said, I may make strategic sourcing mandatory. And my thought to that was, oh, yeah? Because as we know, sometimes that what sounds good on a policy basis doesn't really work well when you're down in the trenches. And I think that that is something that we're already seeing for this approach to strategic sourcing, where you have multiple agencies with different needs trying to come together with enough commonality so that some of those needs are met through a central procurement operation. But there is just no possibility that each agency is going to be able to work with every other agency to strategically source things, simply because we have agencies with fundamentally different missions and different ways of doing things. And if you don't believe me about that on strategic sourcing, you need look no further than these small business numbers that come out annually. You have agencies like GSA that routinely make their small business numbers, and you have agencies like the Department of Energy that will never meet those numbers in a million years because the Department of Energy largely contracts out the operations of national laboratories. Those do not go to small businesses, and if they did, those businesses themselves would no longer be small. The fact is, different agencies, different missions. So I'm a little skeptical of being able to adopt strategic sourcing. I pay taxes just like everybody else does. I'm in favor of the government saving money, but I think we have to be smart about it. We can't have political policy-driven solutions wedged into round hole government procurement operations because it's not always a good fit.
Okay. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We will be back after these messages.
Are you a civilian employee of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, or the Department of State? You may be eligible for term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America. Term life insurance helps provide security for your family in case something happens to you. It's money to pay your mortgage or your children's college expenses, or help ensure your spouse can retire in comfort. GEBA's group life plan offers affordable rates with coverage amounts up to $600,000. Civilian employees of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, or the Department of State. Don't let these exclusive benefits pass you by. Start planning today and get peace of mind for your family and protection for their future. Visit GEBA.com/term life to learn more or to download an enrollment form. That's GEBA.com/term life. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's neither one, but a hero just the same. It's a federal worker giving to United Way of the National Capital Area and its charities. She pulls someone out of harm's way with every payroll contribution. He champions the people in his community with every CFC charity he designates. When you choose CFC code 31408 and give through payroll contributions, you're changing the life of someone in need. Amazing things happen when we stand united.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. How can I help you?
Yeah, I already have the little Insignia HD Radio Portable that I use at the gym, but I thought I saw a new one on HDRadio.com that I could use on my desk. Is that right?
You bet. It's only $49, and just like the Portable, it has HD Radio technology, so you can get the new HD2, HD3 channels.
Great. So for under $50, I can get Insignia's new table radio with both digital sound and the extra channels?
Yep. Plus, it works with batteries.
Sweet. So I can take it to the pool and the beach this summer. Sold.
HD Radio. More radio, more value.
This is John Gilroy from Armature and host of Federal Tech Talk. After almost 300 interviews, I've had many guests who talk about cutting-edge technology and agile software development. How would you like to be part of a fast-paced team with an agile approach to projects? We need talent. We seek experts in .NET, WCF, jQuery, and HTML5. Take advantage of this opportunity where you can make a difference. For more information, go to armaturecorp.com or send your resume to radiojobs@armaturecorp.com.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock, brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community, sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to Fed Talk at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by this year's Sammy's winners and Jim Seymour from the Partnership for Public Service.
The nation's largest intelligence event returns to Orlando, Florida, October 8th through 11th. USGIF's GEOINT 2012 Symposium features speakers from the defense, intelligence, and homeland security communities, as well as panel discussions and breakout tracks tackling the critical issues affecting our national security. Network with professionals and uncover new technologies for more than 250 organizations. Register and learn more at GEOINT2012.com. That's GEOINT2012.com.
Skype connections are encrypted from end to end. The problem that some people are having is that Microsoft recently bought Skype, and Microsoft has been implementing some architectural changes to Skype, and now people are thinking that Microsoft or perhaps Skype itself has the ability to intercept phone conversations on their own servers. In other words, they could set up a man-in-the-middle attack from their servers.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
With federal CIO Stephen Van Roekel's Future First Plan aiming to embed best practices into the government, agencies will need to change everything from their development methodologies to the length of the acquisition cycles. Join AFSEA Bethesda on September 26th at the Bethesda North Marriott to look at how agencies will take advantage of their new approaches to managing information technology and what impact it will have on the contractor community. Register today at AFSEABethesda.org/SEPTBreakfast.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Richard Mackey. You can find Richard at capitalreps.com, capitalreps.com, and Larry Allen, Allen Federal, A-L-L-E-N, federal.com. Both these guys, Larry's big picture strategy on selling to the government, Richard, is granular, help get and manage your GSA schedule, and he'll help you decide if you really need one. That's one of the cool things about Richard. He just doesn't say, oh, yeah, sure, why not? Jump in, the water's fine. He has told a couple of people that I sent over, you might want to think about selling other ways. But let's go deeper on this strategic sourcing thing. There's been some under-the-radar stuff. I posted a lot of stuff recently in several groups on LinkedIn, a lot of groups on LinkedIn, about this. And Jim Phillips from the Center Consulting had posted one incident here where DLA apparently was attempting to mandate that all its medical clinics and treatment facilities restrict their procurements of certain medical supplies to a single vendor. Hello. And this, you know, wasn't an official move. It was simply a push. And this, you know,
It's outrageous behavior, Mark, but it's actually one of the perverse behaviors that you see driven by the strategic sourcing mindset. And when GSA goes out and does strategic sourcing, it does it through an announced procurement. And people may argue about whether or not that procurement itself was perfectly well conducted, but the fact is they announced it, they cited the FAR, they had a competition, and they did other things. Here we have DLA just kind of almost whispering to its users, hey, don't use that guy, use this guy. There's nothing official about that. In fact, it's just breaks every procurement law that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, preference predicated on what?
Well, we'd all like to be that vendor, but you know, that's just patently wrong. I mean, there's you need open competition. You know, there's seven rules for sole source procurements. There's the basic rule of three: get three quotes, make an award based on best value. You know, directed procurements aren't helping anybody.
Right, but that's one of the several perverse. And Richard's absolutely right. It's one of the several perverse outcomes that you see when people get, when they get strategic sourcing fever, kind of like Potomac fever. I mentioned earlier in the GSA realm, in the schedules arena, and this goes for the strategic sourcing contracts as well. You as a contractor have the ability to raise your prices if you can show that you in turn have had price increases from your suppliers. And yet GSA has clamped down and told suppliers on strategic sourcing, no, you cannot increase your prices. Well, you know, that's going to drive different types of behavior as well. And Richard alluded to one of them earlier in the show, and that is, look, there are a lot of places you can source office supplies from.
China.
China. Not all of them are where you should be getting them under your contract, but it's one of those things that if you're a business of any size and you're looking to improve your margins, and you know that this is a contract, a program that's really driven at the political level, you might be willing to take a risk and say, well, this is a politically driven contract. It's the center gem of the OMB strategic sourcing crown. They're probably not going to look too hard at my compliance, so there's going to be substantial temptation to get items from places where you're not supposed to.
Richard, any thoughts on that?
But it's there should be a level playing field, and that's one of the benefits of being in the federal government is, you know, having rules. Unlike the commercial sector where they can just lock you out, the feds have rules, goals for small business performance, pricing, you have protest procedures. Hearing things like this are upsetting.
The upshot here is FSSI is not vacated anytime soon.
It's not being vacated anytime soon. Whether or not the current office supplies program sticks around for more than a couple of years remains to be seen. Certainly, history is not on the side of maintaining a multi-agency strategic sourcing initiative. We alluded earlier to the fact that different agencies have different missions, and already you've seen some tension within the current program where individual agencies feel that they can create their own market basket of items that more closely maps to what their own needs are and drive commensurate discounts for those items rather than relying on the multi-agency market basket that GSA has put together for the FSSI. I would expect to see that we will see more things like the DLA pronouncement that, you know, look, don't buy from them, buy from this guy because we said you should, and that was it. Similarly, DLA senior executives did come out publicly and say, look, for any complex procurement over the simplified acquisition threshold, we want our buyers to use reverse auctions. Reverse, it's all driving to price. And sometimes there's a cost to low price, as we all know. And I'm concerned that the rush to the bottom, we may not like where we end up, regardless of whether you're a contractor or a government buyer.
Now, one of my clients was awarded the IT commodities strategic sourcing contract recently, and you know, it was canceled, and the RFP was canceled and delayed four or five times. They finally just got awarded for some Dell laptops, and you know, their margins are skinny on one palm, single digit numbers to begin with. And my client was saying, what is the government trying to achieve here? I said to him, you know, they obviously had goodwill, but I don't think they really understand the impact, what it takes to run a business.
What it takes to bid.
Well, to gross margin. What comes out of gross margin? All the operating overhead, you know, and they have to ship the product, order the product, so they can barely make money. And one of the ironic things I was looking at last night, they've made the IT commodities strategic sourcing. They made awards in laptops, printers, etc., but then they made one in monitors, and one of my clients won that slice. Now, how many companies order monitors in bulk? You're going to buy a one for one. You're not going to say, let's go buy 500 monitors. And why would you buy the 500 monitors from one BPA and then order your desktops from another? So that's some disconnect I see in the strategic sourcing when they start drilling them down into sections. Because you don't want to buy your keyboard from one company, printer from another. You're going to have to issue four BPAs to get a system versus the traditional way of ordering, getting three bids on GSA Advantage from one vendor.
That also runs into a massive potential Trade Agreements Act problem, which I can't believe the government wouldn't have seen coming. You know, you look at keyboards mm-hmm. and monitors, just to name two components. none of those components are made in Trade Agreements Act compliant countries. The way that it's okay for the government to buy these things is they buy them, as Richard implied,
bundled
as a computing solution so that they're substantially transformed.
Right.
If you start breaking these things down into their individual component pieces, you are essentially challenging contractors to commit fraud.
So, well, Richard,
I haven't thought about the TAA piece, but you know, they bid trade compliant monitors, but now they're trying to scratch their head, trying to figure out how they can make money on them, because you know the cost reduction, you know, the price reduction clause, which my client doesn't like, basically says, you know, if your price is reduced, even if it's reduced on a temporary basis based upon volume that you receive from the manufacturer, you have to therefore reduce your basis to the government. So whatever monies they had, their cost basis is improved by the manufacturer for the BPA that they won. They're just making the same markup as they did before, just on a smaller sales amount.
Okay. So, final thoughts?
It's a difficult time to be in government procurement, Mark, when you have the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy come out and say that that he's perfectly fine with the predominance of low-price, technically acceptable contracting in government, that they're very proud and are going to continue to ramp up their compliance program and make sure that they've got robust oversight, and they're expecting more free services from contractors like data collection for the government's own data analytics. You have to ask yourself, am I truly committed to this market? And if so, how am I going to make a go of it? Because it's pretty clear that it's a tight time, tight budget. The government's expecting more of you. You may end up making less. This is no way to treat a business partner.
A couple things just for contractors. I've always said, I think Mark has too, you know, you can always sell to the government on schedule, non-schedule. But minimally, you need to be registered in CCR. That was Central Contractor Registration, as well as ORCA, Online Reps and Certs. In July, GSA migrated those very unsuccessfully for about a month into what's called SAM, System for Award Management, SAM.gov. So if you're not, you need to go to SAM.gov, verify that your CCR and ORCA profiles were ported over properly and that you're properly listed. Otherwise, you can't even bid with the government. And what I wanted to talk about, too, which is frustrating on the IT side, there's all the EULAs, end-user license agreements, terms of service, terms of agreement, they're all being vetted by GSA Legal, which is a staff of few. And so now what used to be my clients saying, here's a modification for a manufacturer that's already approved, Adobe, Google, Oracle, it's taking months. I mean, months for these to be vetted by GSA Legal, the manufacturer's legal staff. And so it's, you know, very frustrating because it's just taking all the software sales are going to go down because sales are not happening because mods are not being generated for existing manufacturers. And you want to add a new software manufacturer, it's going to take 6 months.
Good Lord. All right, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. My guests have been Larry Allen of Allen Federal and Richard Mackey of Capital Reps. This isn't my day job. I run the Government Market Master Program at Capital College. Our next courses are November 2, LinkedIn for Government Contractors, half-day event. And on November 7th at Capital College, we'll have the 8th annual AmTower Summit on Selling Products to the Government, where I will be joined by Larry Allen and Richard Mackey.
Yahoo!
There you go. Thank you for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.